So we're on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, about halfway through the Amud, and we're up to Misayale, which, if you remember, the first word in the line is Biros, and it is parallel to the, a little below, ma the Tosis Dibra Maskel Ma Yeser. And the Gemara now wants to bring a proof to Rav Yosef. So let's just review the Shita of Rav Yosef. And Rav Yosef is an interpretation of Rav. And we're talking about a Tzuras HaPesach, and we wonder whether Tzuras HaPesach is effective in a case of a Parutz Meruba Al HaOmud situation. Right, so we know from our Mishnah that Tzuras HaPesach is effective in a case of a Mavui that has too much of a width. It's beyond Eser Amos in the Pesach, the Rochav Pesach HaMavui. We extended Tzuras HaPesach to the case of a gova of lamala meyesrim ama, but in the case of parutz merubala amud, for example, you have a chotze that's full of psochim and chalonos. There, Rav Yosef claims that according to Rav, Tzuras HaPesach will not be effective. Lema misayele, should we bring a proof to Rav Yosef from a brisa? The Braisa says, Defanos halalu sheruban psachim vechalonos. So you've got a case where most of this wall is just openings, entranceways, windows, is mutter. You're allowed to be metaltel. Now that doesn't sound like a riot to Rav Yosef. If anything, it sounds like a kasha on Rav Yosef. Because Rav Yosef was the one who said that you cannot talk about Tzuras HaPesach in a case of Poritz Meruba Ala Omid. And then the Braisa says, stipulating Ubilvad Shehei Omid Meruba Ala Poritz, that this heter of Tiltel only applies in a case of Omid Meruba Ala Poritz. Well, you just told me it's Ruban Psachim Vechalonos. The Gemara right away asks the question, Ruban Salka Daita, can you take this Braisa literally, that it's discussing, it's addressing a scenario which is Ruban Psochim V'chalonos, that most of this entire wall is made up of Psochim and Chalonos. Well, if most of the wall is made up of Psochim V'chalonos that are open, then for sure you're talking about Paritz Meruba La Omeid. So how could the Braisa say, Ubilvad Shehei Omeid Meruba La Paritz? Ela Ema, but rather we have to change the Braisa. And what does the Braisa mean when it says Ruban Psochim Vechalonos? Sheriba Bahen Psochim Vechalonos? That he had this wall and he opened up many different entranceways and windows into the wall. And then the Braisa tells me that even though there are many different entranceways and air spaces, but nevertheless you're allowed to be metaltil bilvad, as long as ye omed merubal aparts, that most of what you see is closed off. So we see clearly from this brisa that when you have psochim v'chalonos, even though, you know, some cases, by definition, psochim and chalonos means that you have a tzuras ha-pesach. Certainly in the case of a chalon, you have a tzuras ha-pesach, and even in the case of a pesach, Pesach by definition means like you have a mezuzah here and a mezuzah here with a mashkof on top. You have a Tzuras HaPesach. And yet, the Braisa only allows Tiltul in a case of Psochim V'chalonos if you have Omeid Meruba Al HaParetz. That was the precondition. And that supports Rav Yosef's interpretation of Rav, namely that Tzuras HaPesach is not effective in a case of Paritz Meruba La Omeid. Okay. So now, after we reconstructed this brisa, we have a raya from this brisa for Rav Yosef. Now the Gemara rejects it. No proof. Amar Rav Kahana, ki tanya hi. That brisa is addressing the following scenario. It's called Bepischei. What kind of openings were there? Shimoi. And the question is, what does the word Shimoi mean? The Gemara is going to quote two opinions about what Shimoi means. But the basic definition of, or translation, if you will, of Shimoi is Mikul Kolim. Mikulko means is some sort of a tzuras hapesel that's not done properly. This is not kitikuna. It's kilkula, right? Kilkula is the opposite of tikun. So the reason why we need omid merubal apart, says Rav Kahana in this brisa, even though he has a tzuras hapesach, is because we're talking about a tzuras hapesach that is quote unquote mekulko, which the Gemara now is going to analyze. Now, this translation of Rashi, that the word Shimoi means Mikulkolim, Rashi is very consistent elsewhere in Shas. For example, we give two examples. One is a Rashi in Kiddushin on Daf Lamed Beis. The Gemara talks about someone who is an older person, an older Jew, but he's a total ignoramus. He doesn't know anything about Torah. And the Gemara calls him a Zokin Ashmoi. And Rashi says that the word Ashmoi, which is very similar to this word Shimoi, is Mekulkal. Why is he Mekulkal? Rashi says because he's Chaser Yudias HaTorah. He doesn't know anything about the Torah. In Masechta Menachos on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, it says they're Pischei Shimoi. And Rashi again says Psachim Mekulkalim Ve'ashemim. The word asham or ashem means guilty. So if something is not done perfectly, not done well, you know, there's a certain element of guilt, and that's the same word here that we have, shimoi. So in any way, we're talking about some problematic tzuras hapesach, and now we're going to figure out what exactly is the problem with this tzuras hapesach. My pischei shimoi, why is this pesach mekulkal and therefore cannot serve as a tzuras hapesach? Had it been a perfect tzuras hapesach, it would be matir, even in a case of paritz merubala omeid, so argues Rav Kahana. Is pligi bar Rav Rechumi v'Rav Yosef. There's machlokas, had to interpret pischei shimoi. Chadom are according to one opinion. What is the kilku? The less lehu shkife, shikfe. Less lehu shikfe. Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute. The Chadom are according to the other opinion, the less lehu tikra. Now we can start either forward or backwards. If we start backwards, we get the simple one. Less lehu tikra. In other words, the case that we're dealing with is where you have a large, very solid wall, but it has an opening without a horizontal ceiling on it. So it's basically, you know, you could call it a lechi mikan, but it's not a tzuras hapesach at all. Again, I don't know why the Brisa would have bothered to even tell me in such a case that it's not a tzuras hapesach and it cannot be viable. He writes here in the footnote, ein kan tzuras hapesach. Lefishin Yono, what is the tzuras hapesach? Konamikan, two vertical poles, the kon al gabeim, and a horizontal pole. The kan ein kon al gabeim. It's pashut open on top. There's no kon al gabeim. So that's the second opinion. That's called pischei shimoi. The first opinion is a little bit more tricky. The less lehu shikfe. What is shikfe? So the word shikfe is a conjugation of a word mishmashkof is the noun. And apparently when you turn the noun into a plural in Aramaic, it becomes shikfe. But the noun itself is called Mashkof. Now, Mashkof is more or less a doorpost, sort of on the right and the left. So when you go into an entranceway, what you have on the right and the left is called Mashkofim in plural. And the top part, which covers you, is called a tikra. So we're talking now about a problem in the Mashkofim. And Leslu Shikfe. What does it mean it doesn't have Mashkofim? So Rashi interprets it that Ein avne mezuzos omdos zu al gabi zu kisidram el achas nichneses vi achas yotzes. So let's say, for example, you're entering into this opening, which has a wall on your right, a wall on your left, and a ceiling on top. What's the problem with this Tzuras HaPesach? If you take a look at the stones on either side, on your right side or the left side, you go from top to bottom, there's no straight line. The stones jut out, they're not organized in one line. So you'll have one stone coming out here, the stone on top of it is indented, so to speak, inside, and the next one comes out, and so forth and so on. He has a picture of it here in these diagrams. And you'll see that the stones on each side here, each mashkof, are zigzag. They're not straight. We need a vertical straight line. There's a long discussion here in the commentaries as to whether or not there's really a machlokas here, ledina, between Rav Rechume and Rav Yosef. It could be that they both agree in both cases we'd have to disqualify the Tzuras HaPesach, certainly in the case where there's no Tikra, but even the other Man D'Omer, we don't know his name, who holds what, but he would also agree that in the case the Lesle Mashkofim, if there's a kilkel in the Mashkofim, because Mashkofim are not perfect vertical lines in terms of the way the stones are set one on top of the other, then it's not a valid Tzuras HaPesach. So now let's just review. We thought that this Braisa was talking about a classic case of a Tzuras HaPesach. And what you have is windows and openings in this wall, but there's many Tzuras HaPesachs. And yet the Braisa insists that the Tzuras HaPesach is only valid if there's Omed Merubal HaParetz, which is exactly Rav Yosef's contention in the name of Rav, that the Tzuras HaPesach is not effective if it's Paretz Merubal HaOmed. Comes along Rav Kahane, he says, no, that's not the subject of this Braisa. The Braisa is talking about a Pischei Shimoi, which means that you don't have a Tzuras HaPesach. Had you had a Tzuras HaPesach, then it would be valid to be Matir Tiltul, even in the case of Paretz Merubah Al HaOmed. Now it comes out that when it says in the Braisa, Shariba Bahen Psachim V'Chalonos, which means that he opened up many different windows and many different openings, entrances into this wall, but it still is omed merubah HaParetz mutar b'tiltul. The chiddush is that even though we're talking about psachim mekulkalim, nevertheless, since it's omed merubah HaParetz, we can validate it as a Tzuras HaPesach. But in a case where it would be Paretz merubah HaOmed, then because, says Rav Kahane, these psachim are mekulkalim, and therefore it's not a valid Tzuras HaPesach, he's also betilt. But it doesn't mean, as Rav Yosef has it in the name of Rav, that every single time you have Paretz Merubah HaOmed, the Tzuras HaPesach is invalidated, is worthless. It's only in this case where the Tzuras HaPesach has a problem because of one or two things, either the Mashkof or the Tikra. Now we get back to the Gemara. V'af Rabbi Yochanan Sovra Lahadarav, And we're going to try to prove now that Rabbi Yochanan also accepted the principle of Rav, that Tzuras HaPesach is not effective in a case of a very wide opening. D'Omar Ravin, Bar Rav Ada, Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, Maisa Badam Echad, and they don't tell you his name, they tell you where he lived. He lived in a place that's called Bikas Beis Chorson. So I don't know, Don, if you can possibly identify this for us. Have you ever come across a place in Israel? You know, sometimes the modern names are based on old names, but that doesn't always happen. Anyway, hopefully we'll find a place called Bikas Beis Chorson. The archaeologists will dig it up at some point. Anyway, this individual came from there. Now, what's this fellow's profession? He is a farmer, and it seems from the Gemara that he grows grapes. He has a vineyard. And now we have a problem of kelayim to discuss. If he wants to plant grains in close proximity to a vineyard, and again, I use this term in close proximity in inverted commas. I don't know exactly. It's, you know, for that you have to learn Masechta Kelayim, whether it's four amos, whatever the proximity is. Then he violates Kelayim, unless he sets up a mechitza, and the mechitza allows him to plant a vineyard on one side of the mechitza and grains on the other side of the mechitza. So we're going to talk about a case of a certain individual, and he apparently wanted to plant on the other side of his vineyard in close proximity. He didn't want to give up any of his agricultural land. Land was very at a premium. So he set up a mechitza. What kind of mechitza did he set up? Knots arba kundesim bi arba pinos hasod. So he sets up four vertical poles on each of the corners of his field. So kundesim in modern Hebrew is translated as yitedot. Right? Yateid is any sort of a peg or a vertical pole. So he sets up four kundesim. And then what does he do? Umosach zmora me'alehem. And he takes a branch and he stretches it from one side to the other. Again, I don't know the size of his farm. I mean, they have a diagram here. It looks like a pretty small area. In other words, maybe we're not talking about his entire farm. We're talking about a circumscribed area where he's growing, let's say, grapes, and he wants to plant, you know, in close proximity the grains. So he puts his mora me'alehem. Now, in my humble opinion, this diagram is a little bit confusing. I don't know. Again, I just don't see it right. It gives you the impression like as if there's a Zmora over here and a Zmora here and a Zmora here. There's only one Zmora. So I don't know. In any event, the way I understand it is that he stretches a Zmora from one kundus to the other kundus, and basically what he has is, if you're looking on that side, he has a Tzuras HaPesach. Again, it's all open. You know, usually a Tzuras HaPesach, you know, at some point, you know, separates, or on one side you have a wall, and the other side, well, here it's nothing, it's all airspace. Yeah, I remember when I was a child, we used to have sometimes a chuppah in our backyard. It sometimes was second marriage, or whatever it was. It wasn't a big chasana. My father was the Masada Kiddushi, he was the Rav. So we actually did something very similar to this, not exactly the same, but we had Arba Kundesim. We had four people holding up four poles on four sides, and then we put the chuppah on top of the four poles. You remember this? Here he's not putting a chuppah to cover the entire top, he's just attaching one pole to the other vertically, horizontally. And again, what the Gemara is going to try to get into is exactly where he placed this Zimra. Was it all the way on top of those two Kundesim, or was it in the middle? Let's assume now it was all the way on top, because it says, Me'al Lehem. And now what he has is a Mechitza, which we call it Tzuras HaPesach, because he's got Kundesim. He's got a kundes here on the right, kundes here on the left, and he's got a zmora that attaches them on top. And this case that took place became a big controversy. Ba maisel lifnei chachamim, and apparently they wanted to know v'tirlo le'inyan kelayim. They permitted it for kelayim, meaning that he's allowed to plant tvua, meaning grains, very close to his vines, as long as it's on the other side of this Tzuras HaPesach, of this imaginary mechitza. And in the footnote he writes, Shekein mechitza materes zrias kilayim mishnei tzadeh. The mechitza permits you to plant two different species, which normally would be a problem of kelayim because they're so close, but they're on two sides of the mechitza. And he tells you to look this up in Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Chav Vav, Hoya Goder Ben Tayim, Zeh Somech L'Goder Mikan, V'Zeh Somech L'Goder Mikan. Okay, the Gemara there is in a perek that deals with Shechenim, with neighbors. So let's say you're growing grapes, like, I don't know, I have grapes in my backyard, right? So, But my backyard doesn't border. But let's say my backyard bordered on your backyard, and you want to plant grains, and I plant grapes. So the law is that if we're in close proximity, one of us, let's say the second one perhaps, he's the one who comes, he has to be marchik. But if there's a mechitza between the two, that's called a gader, is the halacha is zeh somech legodah mikan, zeh somech legodah mikan. You can plant your wheat right up to my gader, and I can plant my grapes right up to my gader. So that's because there's a gader, which is a mechitza between us, and that separates as far as kelayim is concerned. The Amar Reish Lakish, kederech sheitiru lo le'inyan kelayim, kach hitiru lo le'inyan Shabbos. That not only did the Rabbanan validate and recognize this Tzuras HaPesach for the laws of Kelayim, and it serves as a mechitza to permit two different species on both sides of it, not only that, but it also has an implication as far as Shabbos is concerned. You're allowed to be metaltel inside the place that is now surrounded by mechitzas. Why? Because the Tzuras HaPesach is matir on that, in that area. Again, I don't know why in Shabbos he's going in there, because that's a field, usually that's not the place to hang around on Shabbos, but for whatever reason, he wants to carry something inside his field, the part of the field that's enclosed by the four kundesim, and once he puts this mora from one side to the other, hanging on top of two of the four kundesim, it becomes a Tzuras HaPesach, because he's got two vertical poles plus the horizontal zmora on top that connects one to the other. And Reish Lakish says, let's be consistent. Let's apply the same yardstick and recognize the Tzuras HaPesach not only as a mechitza for Kelayim, but also for Shabbos. So if this Tzuras HaPesach is a mechitza for Shabbos. Then you've got four mechitzos that surround this area, plus a tzuras ha-Pesach. What's the problem? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no. Linyan kalayim itiru lo. Linyan Shabbos lo itiru lo. They were only matir him for kalayim, but not for Shabbos. What we call in brisk, tzvei dinim. Right? There are two dinim. There's one din of kalayim, and you can have something that serves and is valid mechitza for kalayim to be matir, but on Shabbos it's not called a mechitza of tzuras ha-Pesach. And probably what Rabbi Yochanan has in mind, again, I'm just thinking ahead of myself, is that a tzuras ha-Pesach is fine if you really have three other mechitzos and you want to close it off on the fourth side with a tzuras ha-Pesach. But where are your mechitzos over here? You have four kundesim, but it's parutz. It's completely open on all sides. But first, the Gemara wants to know, what is the scope or what is the exact scenario that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are debating as far as Shabbos is concerned? B'mayaskina. So the Havamina was E Lema, if we're talking about a case where he stretches this Anaf, this Zmora that we spoke about. Minatzad. So Rashi says Minatzad. What does Minatzad mean? It means Be'emtza Govheim. In other words, he didn't put the Zmora on top, but rather he puts it in the middle. And now he has a picture here, a diagram. You've got these two kundesim on this side, and he's got a Zmora, some sort of a branch that goes from side to side in the middle of these kundesim. So let's say the kundesim go 10 feet up, he's got this Zmora at 5 feet, or whatever it might be. And the Gemara says that here we get into a great machlokas about Tzuras HaPesach. But the Gemara right now doesn't think that it's a machlokas. The Gemara is going to quote Rav Chisda and assume that everybody agrees to Rav Chisda. Va'amar Rav Chisda, Tzuras HaPesach, Shasa'a min atzad, lo asa v'lo klum. That what is the Tzuras HaPesach? The tikra of the Tzuras HaPesach, if I could use that word, has to be absolutely on top of the mashkof Mikan u Mikan. But if he puts the tikra in the middle, that's not called the Tzuras HaPesach. Oh, so now we have to understand that everything that we've been saying until now is according to Rashi. And basically, according to Rashi, the Gemara is asking Akasha here on Reish Lakish, meaning if the scenario of this Maisa Shahaya, the story, is Minatzad, then we don't understand Reish Lakish. How could Reish Lakish allow for Tiltul based on this Zmora, what is he called? Shenoat Sabrakaminim, and Matach Zmora, Mal Lehem, if the Zmora is in the middle of the two Kundesim, that cannot serve as a Tzuras HaPesach. So that's the way Rashi learns it. However, there's another girsa in our Gemara, and Rashi's girsa was Le'inyan Kelayim Amai Hitirulo. I'm sorry. Rashi's girsa was Linyan Shabbos Amai Hitirulo. Meaning the Gemara was asking a kash on Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan is fine. The Gemara had no problem with Rabbi Yochanan, even if we accept that it was a case of Minatzad and we embrace Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda's halacha is only as far as Tiltul B'Shabbos is concerned. Minatzad is not a valid Tzuras HaPesach. But the other girsa is, instead of having the girsa of Linyan Shabbos Amayitiru, the girsa is Linyan Kelayim Amayitiru, which means that the Gemara is asking Akasha even on Rabbi Yochanan, who says that this kind of mechitza is Materes Linyan Kelayim. And the Gemara says, no, it's not a Tzuras HaPesach, It's not a mechitza because it's min atzad. And lo asu v'lo klum, it can't even be matir kelayim. So just note that there are two different gersos here. And the question is whether the Gemara is asking Akasha on Reish Lakish vis-a-vis Shabbos, that's Rashi's gersa, or the Gemara is asking Akasha even on Rabbi Yochanan with regard to kelayim. And again, I emphasize that Rav Chisda right now is unquestionable. Nobody has the chutzpah of questioning Rav Chisda, and therefore this possibility is completely excluded. Ella, but rather we're forced by process of elimination to assume al gabam that when he stretches out this branch, he puts it on top of the yesedos. Ubimai. Now let's ask the following question. What is the distance between one of the kundesim and the other kundas? How wide of a space of an area is it? Ilema bi eser. If we'll assume that it is less than or equal to eser amos, is behal labor of Yochanan b'Shabbos low? What's invalid about this mechitza, this tzuras haPesach, if it's not min atzad, but really al gabon, as far as Shabbos is concerned? Why would Rav Yochanan invalidate this mechitza as far as Shabbos is concerned? Everybody agrees that if the open space is less than or equal to eser amos, that's called a Pesach, and a Pesach is not mevatel and mechitza. Again, Tosis is going to have a problem with this. I'll share with you the Tosis in just a minute. Hello, love. But by process of elimination, we have to assume that the distance between one of the kundasim and the other is yeser me yeser amos, is more than 10 amos. Rabbi Yochanan says that in this case of a mechitza, which is called a tzuras haPesach, as far as Shabbos is concerned, a tzuras haPesach cannot be matir, a Pesach that's wider than eser amos. Again, that was Rav's point. Rav Yosef took Rav even a step further, and he said that according to Rav, in general, if you have parts merubah la'omed, then tzuras haPesach is not meaningful. And that would be even a case where there's no opening of ten amos. But the main explicit statement or ruling of Rav was that a tzuras haPesach is not going to help you if the Pesach of the Mavui is wider than 10 amos. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan is saying over here. That herein lies the difference between Kelayim and Shabbos. In Shabbos, we have a requirement of defining a Mavui that we saw about before. And within that context, we postulated that if it's an open space that's wider than 10 amos, it's not called a Pesach, it's called a Pirtza. And Rav holds that you cannot convert a Pirtza into a Pesach, if it's more than 10 amos, simply by making a Tzuras haPesach. That's not going to do it. You're going to have to be Mamayit. Again, what the Mamayit is, we had a long discussion. You know, he depending upon how many amos it's, you know, he puts up those possum and all that discussion that we had.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Are they saying, therefore, that the Reish Lakish said it was more than?
Correct. And Reish Lakish now holds that despite the fact that the Pesach is more than 10 amos wide, you can remater it even though it is an open area with a Tzuras haPesach. The Tzuras haPesach makes it into a Pesach, despite the fact that it's a Pirtza from the perspective of the open area that is 10 amos plus. Tzuras haPesach is meaningful, and Rabbi Yochanan says, no, there's no such thing as Tzuras haPesach if the Pesach is a Pirtza and it's more than 10 amos wide. This is the way the Gemara wants to interpret the Braisa. I'm not really the Braisa. I'm not sure what the story was based on a Braisa. Let me just see. Maisa Ba'adomecha. So I don't know that was a Braisa. But anyway, the story of the Chachamim who are Matir Le'inyin Kelayim. Oh, so let's just add one point that I forgot to make. This is Rabbi Yochanan as far as Shabbos is concerned. The Tzuras HaPesach cannot be helpful in Shabbos, because in Shabbos we have a Pirtza, and Tzuras HaPesach more than Esav, it's not going to help. But as far as Kelayim is concerned, the Chachamim were Mekil, and they recognized the validity of this Mechitza, allowing him to plant grains on the other side of this Tzuras HaPesach. The Tzuras HaPesach is a valid mechitza. In other words, this distinction between a Pesach and a Pirtza, which has so much of an impact according to Rabbi Yochanan in terms of a Tzuras HaPesach, because if it's a Pesach, then you could be Mater Pesach with a Tzuras HaPesach. If it's a Pirtza, which means more than Eser Amos, you cannot. That whole discussion is not relevant to Kelayim. In Kelayim, we need a mechitza. And the Tzuras HaPesach sets up a mechitza. Ah, you'll ask me, but it's a Pesach. It's a Pirtza, not a Pesach. Hey, those distinctions between a Pesach and a Pirtza are not relevant to Kelayim. Kelayim just means we got to have something that separates it. And this Mora, insofar as it's on top, that is a mechitza, and it separates whatever he plants on one side from that which he plants on the other side. But now I want to share with you a kasha of Tosfos. Tosfos asks the following. The Gemara assumes, without question, that a Tzuras HaPesach would be helpful in Shabbos, would be valid, if you have a Pesach and not a Pirtza, meaning if the width and the distance is up to 10 amos. However, Tosfos says the following. We had Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef says that Tzuras HaPesach is only valid in a case of Omeid Merubah LaParutz. Our case is clearly Parutz Merubah LaOmeid. In fact, I'm almost tempted to think it's completely parts. So why does the Gemara assume that, you know what, this opening, this distance between one of the kudusim and the other is more than 10 amos, and that's problematic, as if to say that if it was only 10 amos, it's not problematic. When we have Rav Yosef Shita according to Rav, that there's no validity to a Tzuras HaPesach in a case of Paretz Merubah LaOmeid. This is clearly Paretz Merubah. So Tosfos offers a number of answers. Let's see if we can get through one or two of them. He says the following. Me'achar v'nidchu divrei Rav Yosef. Since the Gemara had originally, if you recall, quoted what they thought was a proof text of Yosef, and then the Gemara rejected it, because the Gemara said that we were talking in that case about Pischei Shimai, and that's why we required Omeid Merubah Ala Parutz. But in a real case of a Tzuras HaPesach that doesn't have this kilkul, whatever that kilkul is, then Tzuras HaPesach would be valid, even if it's Parutz Merubah Ala Omeid. So therefore the Gemara doesn't even bother mentioning this possibility. Then Tosfos says the following. Kavanas Reish Lakish Lomar Shekshem She'itiru Mechitza Zu B'Kelayim Afilu B'Arba Ruchos Kach Itiru Le'inyan Shabbos L'Shtei Ruchos, which means that there are Shtei Mechitzos Gemuros V'od Shtei Mechitzos Asuyos Al Yedei Tzuras HaPesach Kozu. V'ilu Reb Yochanan Tzover Af B'Shtei Ruchos Ein Hi Mo'ila. V'alkein Maksha Gemara im ena pesach rocha meser amos madua oser Rabbi Yochanan hare kol modim b'mavui mefulash mishnei tzadim sheyesh lo takana b'tzuras ha-pesach af b'paretz meruba ala omid. So Tosis is now changing the rules of the game, so to speak. He's changing the sugya around. It's a different scenario. We're talking about a distinction between Kelayim and Shabbos, which even Reish Lakish accepts, and that is that if this area, which was designated by four kundesim, is open on all four sides, Reish Lakish understands that that's only meaningful in Kelayim. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, the discussion here about this Tzuras HaPesach with the Zimra, you know, that's going to connect these kundesim is only about a case where there were shtei mechitzos gemuros. In Shabbos, we have to transpose and transfer ourselves over to another scenario. And the scenario is there are two complete mechitzos, and then he creates two mechitzos, which are Tzuras HaPesach. So he's got a Zimra here and a Zimra there, and the other two sides are closed off. And here is where Reish Lakish says that if a Tzuras HaPesach is matir in Kelayim, again, even in a case where it's open on all four sides, then it should certainly be effective in Shabbos to close off two mechitzos. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, two mechitzos is not valid. And the Gemara asks the following kasha. I don't understand. If the Pesach is less than 10 amos, why would Rabbi Yochanan say it's asur? Let's compare this to what's called a mavui mefulash. It's completely open on two sides. Right? You enter into a mavui from Rosh Hashanah, and you exit from the mavui at the end of the alleyway into Rosh Hashanah. That's called mavui mefulash. And in such a case, all he needs is a Tzuras HaPesach. Again, he may need a Tzuras HaPesach on both sides. I mean, that we can get into, and that's the deal with Hananya and all that. But one thing for sure is that a Tzuras HaPesach is going to be valid, even though it's open from two tzadim. And it could be even that it's paris merubah la'omeh. So the Gemara doesn't understand why Rabbi Yochanan went as far as to prohibit this in Shabbos, in the case with the two mechitzos, because even if it's open on two sides, and that bothers Rabbi Yochanan to no end, but it's no worse than a mavi mefulash, which is open on two sides, and yet a Tzuras HaPesach is matir. So the Gemara answer is no, it's open wider than 10 amos, and in such a case, Rabbi Yochanan says that this so-called mechitza, which might be valid as a Tzuras HaPesach mechitza for Kelayim, is not valid Linyan Shabbos. So we see clearly that Rabbi Yochanan's position is that a Tzuras HaPesach cannot be matir a Pesach that's wider than 10 amos. And this is all a proof to Rav, so to speak. I don't mean a proof to Rav, but a proof to establish that Rabbi Yochanan agrees to Rav. That in a case of a Pesach that's Rochav Me'aser Amos, Tzuras HaPesach could not be matir. And the Gemara rejects it. Lo. We're not talking about a Pesach that is wider than Eser Amos, but rather, Li'olam Be'eser. We're talking about a Pesach which is 10 amos. And what's the case? Minat sad. Right? And he took this branch from the vine or whatever it was, and he stretched it from one of the kundesim to the other, but in the middle of the kundesim. And we said that that's Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda told us that that's not a Tzuras HaPesach. You cannot, to qualify as a Tzuras HaPesach, you've got to have a vertical branch or a beam that's absolute, or a kosel, that's absolutely on top of the two. You've got to have a horizontal beam, sorry, that's absolutely on top, sitting on top of the two vertical poles. The Gemara says, Nate. Ube Rabbi Chisda come miflegi. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are arguing about the din of Rav Chisda. Rabbi Yochanan accepts Rav Chisda, and he says that a Tzuras HaPesach min atzad is not a Tzuras HaPesach. So this Hanaf could not be matil in Shabbos; it could only be meaningful for Kelayim. But Reish Lakish doesn't hold from Rav Chisda. And therefore he would be Matir Mechitza, even as far as Shabbos is concerned, despite the fact that it's Minatzad. He says, Le'inyan Kelayim, this is all a summary of Rashi, Gam Rav Chisda Mode Shetzuras HaPesach Asuya Minatzad Materes V'lo Osar El Gavi Shabbos. And Rashi says, Shechamura Mikalayim. Rashi doesn't go into detail. He just says that Shabbos is more chamur than Kelayim. I mean, we know that Shabbos could entail a violation of a Chiv Misa, whereas that could never that could never apply to Kelayim. Okay. All right. So now, the Gemara is going to raise an objection to this explanation of the Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, meaning that they're arguing about Rav Chisda, what's the status of a Tzuras HaPesach Sha'asa Min Atzad, whereas Rabbi Yochanan accepts Rav Chisda that's invalid, it cannot serve as a Tzuras HaPesach, and Rav Chisda validates it. Rami, Rabbi Yochanan, Ad Rabbi Yochanan, Rami, Reish Lakish, Ad Reish Lakish. We're going to have a contradiction between our Rabbi Yochanan that we've been studying here and another statement of Rabbi Yochanan, and the same with regard to Reish Lakish. Domer Reish Lakish, Mishum, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Chanina. Here we're turning to Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Peah. Now what's a peah? A peah is what we call in Yiddish a sheitel, or if you're from Glitzia, you call it a sheitel, right? Or in English, we call it a wig. But a specific kind of wig. This is what we call a braided wig. You know, in Masechta Shabbos, it comes up very often in terms of whether she's allowed to go out with something that's braided in her hair into a Rishus HaRabbah. But anyway, that's not what we're discussing here. We're talking about a Tzuras HaPesach that's made by vines that are braided together and are stretched between these two vertical yesedos, these kundesim. Rashi says this braided vine is called a peah, mishum sha asuya beklia, it's made in a braided way, kamo peah nachris, like a wig. He quotes here the Aruch was, even before Rashi, he was the expert on etymology. And he says, Kol dover shemakif v'eino mogein u'mechasa nikra peah. So peah goes around, but it doesn't protect you because part of it is exposed. Like if a woman wears a wig, so, you know, it covers her on these sides and on top, but not in front. That's called a peah. So, for example, if you want to talk about the mitzvah of peah, it's a corner of the field, and in a certain sense, it's surrounded by the ends of the field, but if you go straight away, it's open on that side. So that's called a peah. Okay. So the question is, what is the status of a braided anaf kalua on top of Yesedos? And the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, this is Reish Lakish, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chanina, Muteris Linyan Kelayim. As far as Kelayim is concerned, it's fine. We're not at all bothered by the fact that it's braided. Avalola Inyan Shabbos. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, Reish Lakish says it's invalid. It cannot serve as a mechitza for Shabbos. I have no clue why. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, ki mechitzos l'Shabbos, just like it's a mechitza for Kelaim, why shouldn't it be a valid mechitza as far as Shabbos? I'm sorry. Let me retract what I just said. Again, according to Reish Lakish, it's valid for Kelayim, but not for Shabbos. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan, he says, Nein, if it's not valid for Shabbos, then it's not valid for Kelayim. Because it's braided, it's garnish vert, it's not worth anything. So we have now a double contradiction. Rabbi Yochanan said that a Tzuris HaPesach is Matir Kelayim, but it's not Matir Shabbos. Here he's saying that this Tzuris HaPesach, again, maybe because it's braided, I don't know, but it's not even Matir Kelayim. Reish Lakish, on the other hand, said before that a Tzuris HaPesach with the Zimra on top, with that vine on top, is Matir both for Shabbos and for Kelayim. And here he says it's only Matir Kelayim and not Shabbos. Our last statement about the inefficacy and the invalidity, the non-validity of this Tzuris HaPesach was only said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Rab Chanina. He's not telling you his own opinion. So when Reish Lakish said originally that this Tzuris HaPesach is fine and it's matir even for Shabbos, is that was his own opinion. If you're asking me about this opinion that's stated here with regard to limiting the efficacy of this Tzuris HaPesach to Kelayim, that he's saying in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Rab Chanina, but he himself never agreed to that. El Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan Kasha, but in the case of Rabbi Yochanan, we have a head-on contradiction, and we don't know of any way of reconciling. So, Iyamrit Bishlema. Now, this next Gemara, we'll just try to get Aschol. I see we're running out of time. We may have to just read it quickly and then Belinetta come back to it tomorrow. Iyamrit Bishlema. If you're going to tell me about Rabbi Yochanan Hassam, in the case, in the scenario of that person that put up the four kundesim, it's al gabon. You could say that was a case where he puts the anaf sitting on the top of the kundesin. Hacha, but maybe this case where the braided tzuras haPesach, the zimra, was invalidated by Rabbi Yochanan, even as far as kilayim. Is that's a case of Minatzat, which if you accept Rav Chisda, a Tzuris HaPesach Minatzat, if it's in the middle of these two kundesim, is not valid. Shapir, everything works out very nicely. Because since Rav Yochanan's original position, where his matir for Kelayim, was a case where the Tzuris HaPesach was done in the right way, Kitikuna, al gabe ayesedos, that's why it's matir b'kelayim. It's not matir in Shabbos, because perhaps the distance is more than 10 amos wide. And Rabbi Yochanan holds, like Rav, that a Tzuris HaPesach is not matir if the Pesach is wider than 10 amos. So he cannot be matir as far as Shabbos is concerned, because that's called a piritza, but he certainly can be matir this Tzuras HaPesach as far as Kelayim is concerned, because it was a perfectly excellently structured Tzuras HaPesach. Here, in the case of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, we're talking about Tzuras HaPesach Asuya Min Atzad, as we said before. And Rabbi Yochanan accepts Rav Chisda that Tzuras HaPesach Shasim Min Atzad Lo Asim Lo Kum, and therefore doesn't even have the efficacy as far as Kelayim is concerned. But if you can argue that both cases, Rabbi Yochanan is talking about a Tzuras HaPesach, which was Asuya Min Atzad, my Ikal HaMeimar. We don't have a valid logical way of reconciling this contradiction. Why before Rabbi Yochanan said it's Machshir, Linyan Kalayim is Mechitza, but here he prohibits it. And therefore, we're going to have to say, in order to get out of, wiggle our way out of this contradiction, we have no choice but to assume that we're talking about a Tzuras HaPesach that was May Al Gabe HaYesedos, and nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan says, as far as Shabbos is concerned, it's not valid, because Rabbi Yochanan holds, like Rav, that Tzuras HaPesach could not be Matir Pesach if it's wider than 10 Amos. And the Gemara says, Li'olam idi v'idi min atzat. Both cases are Rabbi Yochanan talking about where he puts the Zimra in the middle. And how are we going to differentiate between the cases? Hasam, Rabbi Yochanan, Li'el, back on in the he was talking about a Pesach that is Eser Amos. And therefore, Tzuras HaPesach is fine. It can be matir if the Pesach is only an Eser Amos. Again, that's only as far as Kilayim is concerned. Aval Hocha, but here, Rabbi Yochanan is talking about a Pesach that's wider than 10 Amos, and therefore, Tzuras HaPesach is not valid. Okay, so, B'li Neder, tomorrow we'll go over this last sugya. We're almost at the end of the sugya, but we ran out of time.